Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
And that is that God tells us that we are made in His image. We are made in the image of God, which to me is just absolutely amazing. The angels are not. They are genderless. They are not male or female. They are not made in the image of God. They are ministering beings here to minister to God and to those that would inherit salvation, the book of Hebrews says. That's us. But they're not made in His image. We are the only beings made in the image of God. The animals are not, much to the evolutionist's surprise, which now they say Lucy and all those things that we studied in school are not even valid, and we won't go down that road, but I don't know enough to go down that road, so I can seem smarter if I go, you know what, I'll talk about that later, when I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I will say that what God's Word says is true. We are made in the image of God, and He is a three-part, inseparable being. God is God the Father, the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, a three-part being. And we're made in the image of God. And it's interesting for us to also realize that instead of us just being one, we are also a three-part being. We have a spirit which will live forever. And our spirit is how we get in touch with God. Our spirit is what will live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever somewhere. We have a soul which is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's our soul. That's our personality. That's how we tell each other apart, you know? Just our personality, our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. What I think is my mind. What I feel is my emotions. And what I want is my will. And God constantly is telling us to live out of our spirit. But most Christians, especially when they're new Christians, without much teaching in the Word and without much being in the Word, live out of their soul, which is living out of, I want, I think, I feel. And then that's constantly in conflict with God's will and God's Word. And those are the people that we say, my gosh, she calls herself a Christian. Look how she acts. Well, yeah, because she's living out of, I want, I think, I feel, her soul. And God tells us, I want you to move out of the soul and live out of your spirit. And then we live in a body, three-part being. We are a spirit. We're spiritual beings made in God's image. We have a soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we live in a body, which is temporary, our earth suit, which is only going to be housing us for the next however many years until we go to live with God in eternity. And that's what we're made of. But what's interesting in my looking at this is when I forgive someone and my feelings come to me and say, you know, you feel this, you feel that, or I want this, or I want that, or I don't want to forgive them, or I don't feel like I forgave them, or I don't think I did, I have to go back and say, wait a minute, the Word of God says that the righteous will live by faith, and I'm not supposed to live out of my soul what I think, what I feel, what I want. I'm supposed to live out of my spirit. And my spirit obeyed God, and I need to trust that. I need to trust that I did what God's will said. I just wrote here, there is a constant battle for all Christians between our spirit, which houses the Holy Spirit and wants to obey God, and our soul, which is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then our body, which is our appetites and our flesh. And here was my example. My spirit tells me to forgive someone. My soul, my mind, brings to remembrance in great detail what they've done to hurt me. You know, my spirit says, hey, you know what? I'm here in applications class, and I hear the Holy Spirit saying to forgive. And I see it in the Word to forgive. And I know that Jesus Christ forgave me of so much. And He was willing to ride in Palm Sunday with me on His mind and to go through sacrificing Himself. And I need to forgive. But my mind goes, let's review some of the things that they've done to hurt you, you know? And I think I've told a few of you all, I got permission from one of my friends to say this, but she said that one time her husband had had some things very hurtful happen in a business deal with some friends, and one friend in particular, and he told her all about it, and they were just, it was very bad and unresolved. And then like a couple years later, this friend called him to go golfing. And he told her, he said, "Hey, honey, I'm going to go golfing with so-and-so." And she said, "Stop, wait." She said, "You can't do that. We're mad at him." You know, and our minds do the same thing. It's like a little person and they're going, "Stop, you are mad. You can't do that. You can't do that." So our mind will come and fight against our spirit and say, "Wait, you can't do that." So we think, you know, "I can't do that. I'm mad." Or our emotions get stirred up in remembrance of how they've hurt us. And then our will says, "You know what? You're not going to forgive that rat. Don't do it." Our will says, "I don't want to." And so what a carnal Christian is, how many of you have heard that term, carnal Christian? Yeah, one person? What does carnal mean? Flesh. Fleshly. What a carnal Christian is someone who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then that's it. They act like they always did, which may be good and may not be good, because I know a lot of non-Christians that are a lot nicer than some of us. Yeah? We won't go there either. But see, the exciting thing about becoming a Christian is letting the Holy Spirit change me so much that I stop living out of my soul and I start living more out of the Spirit, which is following the Holy Spirit, which is doing things that the Holy Spirit's told me to do through the Word of God and that He's told me to do in my heart that are contrary to my soul, I think, I want, I feel. I don't think I want to forgive somebody. I don't want to forgive them. And I don't feel like forgiving them. I don't even feel love towards them. But I'm going to do it because the Holy Spirit tells me to do it. And I can start living out of my spirit versus living out of my soul. And then you can also live out of your body, which is, you know, going for every appetite of your body. Like I have one really bad indulgence, and it's extra buttered movie popcorn. Does anyone like that, where you pump the butter? And it's not really real butter, and people tried to tell me what it was, and I was like, "I don't want to know. I just don't want to know." But the movie theater did me a huge disservice when they said that you can get free refills of the big tub of extra butter movie popcorn, and it's really good until you get to about the middle of the second tub. And the other thing I will tell you, too, is have you seen those movie stars lately that have put stuff in their lips and their lips are real big? Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, if you eat that much extra buttered, salty movie popcorn, you walk out of the theater. I'm not kidding. I was like, I could be in Hollywood. I look so good. I feel sick, but I look really good. And I'm not kidding. But see, if I live like that all the time, if that's living out of my body, my appetites. And see, God tells us we're not to live out of our body, what our body wants, which is the fleshly carnal appetites, or our soul, which would be a carnal Christian, someone who's received Jesus Christ, but they still go by, "I think, I want, I feel. I'm not going to change. I'm the way I am. I'm sorry. That's it. I'm going to heaven. I've got Jesus. I've got my insurance policy. But that's it." Versus somebody who's like, "You know what, God? I want my soul to start coming into conformity with your will. I want my mind to be so renewed and changed that I start thinking the way you think and my reactions are more like you, so that people see you and they say, 'I want what you have.'" They see you and they see Jesus versus they see you and they see you. And that's so what we want. That's what Romans 12:2 says. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be just like everybody else, living out of their souls. "I think, I want, I feel. My mind, my will, my emotions." Or living out of their bodies. "Hey, if I want it, I'm going to eat it. If I want to drink it, I'm going to take it." I mean, you can look on television now, and it's amazing for me to see, and I know that you all are in agreement with this, the depravity of mankind and what we've allowed to be things that we hold up in some kind of esteem, like the Osbournes as being America's family, you know? Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. In And so God tells us that he wants us to be conformed to him. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what the word does, so that you can prove the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Where my soul, the more I have my mind renewed by the word of God, the more my own personality, although it's separate and different, I don't become someone else, but Christ is big in me so much that even though I have my own separate personality, his ways of thinking and doing start to come out in me and in you. And so I love that, because God doesn't want carbon copy, cookie cutter Christians. He doesn't want us all to like the same clothes. He doesn't want us all to have the same personality. And that's why I think also that we're not commanded to like one another. We're commanded to love one another. Because I can't remember exactly the statistics, but it's something like 5% of the people in the population are not going to like you no matter what. And so I decided that if I change to try to make people like me, and 5% of the people are not going to like me anyway, what's the point? I mean, I realize that even when I go and speak or teach or whatever, my goal is not, hey, you know, I really hope everybody likes me. My goal is for the Word of God to go out and for the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us as individuals. Because 5% of you are probably not going to like me anyway. Although all of you in this room love me. And you're going to go try the popcorn lip thing as soon as possible. But so what's so neat about that is that God takes our own distinct, separate, individual personalities and he says, I put this in you because I want you to be you, and I want your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, the things that make up you, to be conformed to my Holy Spirit, so that you're living out of your spirit, but your own personality and your own persona reaches the world for Jesus Christ, because we reach different people. All of us do. We all have different ways of reaching different people, and we all have different spiritual gifts. We all have a destiny on this earth and why we were placed here on this earth. And I just get so excited about it. And I think, God, to think that we could miss it all just receiving Jesus Christ and living out of our soul and just being who we, you know, it's the way I am. I'm going to heaven, and that's it. Versus, Holy Spirit, come in me, change me, renew me, teach me, and help me to get to be more like you, so that you can really use me and use the strong points of my personality. You know, there's a story that I love, and I think I wouldn't mind telling it 5 times a year, because I've realized that when I go and speak, I used to always go and speak and teach, and I try to remember what group I'd already said something to or what story I'd already told, and I didn't want to have to tell the same story again. And now I realize it's not the point. It's not that we need something new. It's that the Holy Spirit needs to refresh it and speak to us in our hearts. And it's not always going to be something new. And with me, it can't be, because I live here. I'm just an ordinary person you're going to see in HEB, rarely with coupons, but I'm getting better. Pushing the Barney card. Yeah. And if I'm going to share my experiences and the things that have changed my life and be honest and real about that and not go to like commentaries or other people's happy little stories, then it's going to be a lot of my same experiences. But there's something that's dramatically changed my life when we're talking about the teaching of the separation of us, which we need to realize that we are a three-part being. And am I listening to my soul, or am I listening to the Holy Spirit here? Because the faithful, those that are Christians, will live by faith and not by feelings. And feelings means I'm living out of my soul. Well, one thing that's helped me so much was this something that happened in Corpus Christi about 8 years ago. They had all those greyhound racing was such a big deal. Do y'all remember that? When greyhound racing was just such a big deal, was it like 10 years ago maybe? And they had all this greyhound racing in Corpus Christi. And I remember reading in the newspapers that group of people kept winning all of the bets, and they felt like it was fixed, but they weren't sure. And they finally discovered why this one trainer of the greyhounds could pick which greyhound was going to win the race. And he would say, "Hey, bet on this dog." And it was a different one every time. It was a different dog winning. But the trainer and his friends would always get the loot. And how did he know that dog was going to win? And so they discovered the reason why he knew which dog was going to win is because all week long, that trainer would feed the dog that was going to win, that he wanted to win, that he picked to win, and starve the others. And of course, on greyhounds, you don't know if they've eaten or not. That's my opinion. You know. And so he would feed the dog that he wanted to win and starve the others. And that was such an incredible picture to me because I've so cried out to God, "God, I want to live out of my spirit. I don't want to live out of my soul. I don't want to live out of I think, I want, I feel. I don't want people to see me and go, gosh, she's a Christian. Why would I want to be a Christian? I want people to see Jesus in me." And that same lesson applies because, see, whatever you feed is going to win. If I feed my spirit, then my spirit's going to get strong and it's going to surpass my soul, and my soul's going to have to get in line and get behind my spirit. But if I feed my soul, then my soul's going to take over no matter what. I can want to do the right thing. I can want to forgive someone. I can want to not talk back to my husband. I can want to be kind. I can want to not criticize. I can want to not gossip. I can want to have high integrity at the workplace. I can want to not have the second bowl of extra buttered popcorn at the movie theater. But if I haven't fed my spirit more than I've fed my body or my soul, then my spirit's going to be too weak. And how many of you have been there? I have. Where maybe I'm with somebody and somebody is criticizing somebody. And usually it's family. Yeah? Oh, the honesty in the room. It's somebody in the family criticizing somebody else in the family, usually. And you hear the Holy Spirit that you haven't fed in a month because you've not spent any time in the Word and you've kind of barely gone to church maybe. And you hear the Holy Spirit going, and he's real weak, you know, because you haven't fed him anything. And your soul goes, "Shut up! I've been eating hamburgers and pizza, and I'm strong, and I'm taking over." And you hear yourself going, "Yeah, you know what? And not only that, that person said this and that," and you're criticizing them, and you're just right on in there. And then later you go home, and you go, "Oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that?" Whatever we feed is stronger. It's true in the physical realm, and it's true in the spiritual realm. And normally, what's true in the physical realm is an amazing, wonderful replica of the spiritual realm because God made it that way. Because we live in a physical realm and we relate to physical things, and that's why analogies are so helpful because we go, "Oh, I get it." You know, we have a vision of a greyhound racing and winning because he's fed, and then the other ones, it's very obvious to us that they're dehydrated, they're weak, they're going to lose. And so I have to ask myself, is my spirit dehydrated? Because when my spirit's weak, I have a hard time acting like I want to act or thinking like I want to think. Because sometimes we have the acting thing down, you know? "Praise God, how are you this morning? Good, I'm so glad." And you're thinking, "Oh gosh, I'm so mad at so-and-so." Or your husband and you're in a fight, or your wife and you're, your kids, or everything's really bad, but we're at church like, "Yes, good morning." And so God wants us to have that unity with our soul and our spirit where our spirit is in control and our soul falls in line. What you feed becomes strong. You know, I wrote this scripture. It was interesting. Actually, here I wanted to, well, I'm going to share this in a minute, but it's interesting how Paul puts this the same way. And I think in seeing that we're a three-part being and seeing the difference between our spirit and our soul and looking at what do I need to feed, maybe I can't have a victorious Christian life walking in the spirit because I'm not feeding my spirit. And my soul's going to continue to take over even though I don't like that it's taking over. And so Paul puts it this way. It's interesting because he talks about the three-part triune being in the sense of him differentiating these areas. And I wanted us to read some of this. And rats, we're not going to get through this. Okay, we'll pick back up after in 3 Sundays, I guess. Romans 7:15, Paul says, and some of you, this is your favorite scripture, but you need to move on from this scripture. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Here's Paul saying, you know what? I'm so frustrated. What is going on in my life? I don't understand what I do. And then he says in Romans 7:16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who does it, but sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. He's saying, you know, apart from the Spirit, nothing good lives in me. Apart from the Spirit in me, nothing good lives in me. I mean, the good parts of my soul, my personality that God gave me are good. But if I get into just what I think and I want and I feel, the biggest word in there is I. It's all about me. And all of us can live that way. You know, all these reality shows that are on right now, it's been so amazing for me to hear, or even just The Apprentice. How many of you all watch The Apprentice? Anybody? Y'all are not truthful. I'm teaching a bunch of liars. Why are we teaching about forgiveness? We need to talk about lying. It's the Donald Trump show, you know? And it's interesting for when different shows, like whether it's a competition, Survivor, Apprentice, all these different shows, and they'll interview you, and or they'll interview the person in the show, and so many times I'm so amazed because what the person says 9 times out of 10 is, I deserve this. I deserve this because I'm this or I'm that, and I deserve this. And this person doesn't deserve this. And those words, it's like an acceptable way to be. Or they have these giant makeover shows, and then you hear the person say, well, you know what's really helped me more than anything is just having these life coaches. By the way, what is a life coach? Like, you can't go through life without a coach, you know? The Holy Spirit's supposed to be our coach, but you hire someone to go, you are worthy. You are worth it. You grab life. Don't let anyone run you over. I guess that's a life coach. I could be a life coach. Don't you think I could be a life coach? Just go to the movie theater and get some extra better hot car. And so these women come out and they say, and I've realized that I just deserve the best in life. And then everyone applauds. Well, you know what? God says that He wants us to have the best. 3 John 2 says, I desire that you be in good health and prosper as your soul prospers. God wants His children to have the best. But He doesn't want us to walk around saying, me, 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 I want, I think, I feel. And that's what it is to live out of our souls. And it's a selfish, lonely, never satisfied life. You'll never, ever, ever be satisfied. And I am going to tell you the truth. It's so easy for my mind to slip into that. It's so easy for me to go somewhere and see something that someone has that I want and think, gosh, I wish I had that. And then that slow seed of discontentment. And then I'm suddenly not even appreciative of what I do have. It's so easy for us to slip into me, 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 I want. I want, I think, I feel. But it's a whole lot easier if I don't even know that I'm a three-part being and that I can live out of my spirit. It's a whole lot easier for me to slip into that if I'm ignorant of the fact that I'm made of different parts in the sense of, as a Christian, I can say, stop, wait a minute. You know, I don't need to go and criticize that person. We'll go back to that example. Because I read in this scripture today that it says in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has seized me except for what is common to man, and that He will provide a way out so that I can stand up under it. And I've got that sword of the Spirit, and I get it out, and I use it, and my spirit's been fed, and somebody in my family is criticizing someone else, and I just say, hey, you know what? I'm not perfect either. Let's drop it, or let's just pray for them, or hey, you know, and then I diffuse it. And then my spirit's going, yes, because He was fed, you know? The Holy Spirit is so excited when we actually feed our spirit so that He can be strong and live in us versus us spending our whole life doing the same thing and wishing we didn't. So here Paul says, I don't understand what I do, but what I want to do, I don't do, and what I hate, I do. And if you go back down to verses Romans 7:18, I know that nothing good lives in me, that it is my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. He's expressing our feelings as well. Romans 7:19, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. So here we see a law. And in the Bible, we're going to see laws. There's certain laws in the Bible. There's a law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you'll reap. And here he's saying, take note, here's another law. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Okay, I think that's true. When I want to do good, evil's right there with me going, no, what do you think, Kathleen? Well, I don't think I want to say hi to her. How many of you, you know, have somebody that you always have to say hi first? They never say hi. And we're so petty. We think we're not petty, but we're so petty. And when the Spirit's big in us and we've fed our spirit, then it's like, Lord, I'm going to this party not to be seen, and it's not about me, or who I need to talk to. I want to represent you. I represent you everywhere I go. And so I'm not going to go in the party and go, well, there's so-and-so Lacey. I always have to say hi first, so I'm not going to say hi. That's so petty. But we're laughing and smiling because we've all done that. And so maybe the Holy Spirit, I'm going to use this tiny example because I tell you all everything anyway, and I have completely embarrassed myself so many times that I'm immune to it almost. So I remember so well going to a party several years ago, and the Holy Spirit was like, there's so-and-so, go say hi. And I remember thinking, I don't want to say hi. My will. I always have to say hi first. They never say hi to me. She never says hi to me. She never approaches me. And usually when I say hi, she makes me say it more than one time because she pretends she doesn't hear me. You know anybody like that too? Hi, so-and-so. Hi, so-and-so. No, I'm not saying hi. The Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to go and love them. Go say hi. I said, I don't feel my emotions like saying hi. You see my soul talking back to the Spirit? And my soul goes, I don't feel like doing it. See, now for a lot of people, it ends there. If they don't think it and they don't feel it, they ain't doing it. And see, God can't use that. He's got to use someone who says, I may not feel it, I may not think it, and I may not want it. My soul may be screaming mad, but I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. And so I went and I did say hi. Y'all will be very proud of me. And we laugh about that, but that's just a small example. So here's this law he finds at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Romans 7:22, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Your inner being is your spirit. That's what houses the Holy Spirit, is your most inmost being. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me a prisoner of the law of the sin at work within my members. Now, usually we read those scriptures, they make no sense to us, but we don't try to figure them out. But what he's saying here is, he says, basically, my mind, my will, my emotions, my feelings, what I want, what I think, what I feel, what my body wants, is constantly at war with my spirit, and I have this conflict going on all the time. And there is a conflict all the time, and that is between what God wants us to do and what we want to do. But the greatest thing is the more I say yes to God, the more I feed my spirit, the more I say hi to the person at the party that I don't want to say hi to, the more I forgive the person that was seemingly unforgivable in my life. And I'm using petty, small examples, but you know what, you all? There are people that if I told you what I had to forgive, or you told me what you had to forgive, it would probably astound both of us. So know that it applies in big situations as well. The more I do what God tells me to do, the more that you do what God tells you to do, you're feeding your spirit, and your spirit becomes stronger and stronger, and then it's just easier. It's not the struggle. The struggle is over in that area because you've starved it out. And that's what I get excited about. That's when you can have the joyful Christian life versus the struggle all the time. But we're going to stop right there where he's talking about this law in Romans 7:23 between the members of your body. Isn't it interesting that even Paul says the members of my body, in other words, the different components within me, are in struggle. And the greatest revelation for me is that when I've done what God's told me to do, and my mind is going nuts, or my soul is saying, wait a minute, Kathleen, I can say, stop. I don't live by how I feel. I don't live by what I want, and I don't live by what I think. The Bible says the righteous will live by faith, and I live by faith in the Word of God. And that's keeping in step and walking with the Spirit. I'm gonna end with this. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I love this scripture. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When we feed our spirit with the Word of God, and we feed our spirit also by doing what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, that feeds our spirit versus doing what my soul tells me to do, which feeds my soul. If I follow through with I want, I think, I feel, then I'm feeding my soul. And it gets stronger. Believe me. If I follow through with some of my, that's how we even get addictions. Addictions to gossiping, addictions to alcohol, addictions to whatever we're addicted to is by feeding it. And anybody will tell you if you want to stop an addiction, maybe you're addicted to depressing thoughts. I've been there. And that's not funny. I mean, where just your brain, instead of waking up in the morning and thinking, thank you, God, for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. Your brain goes, scan. What can I worry about? Scan. That's an addiction. If I've got to stop that, then I have to starve it out. I have to purposely get the Word of God and starve it out. And we're going to talk about that in more detail. But this says in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. The only way to keep in step with the Spirit is by feeding it the Word of God. And I love that we live in Texas because we have this visual example of keeping in step with the Spirit because we have the Texas two-step, yes? Yeah? And so one person leads. I did learn that. One person leads. And the best people to two-step with are the people that are just so kind of taunt, and they lead and they know where they're going, that you could be the worst dancer and you can still dance with them. Women know this, you know. You love to two-step with someone who just says, hey, you know what, follow me, just take control. Well, what happens if you're doing the Texas two-step with someone and both people decide to lead? What happens? Toes. I mean, you're stepping on each other's toes, you're tripping, you look silly. It's not any fun. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit looks like with us half the time. Because he said those that are going to walk by faith, walk in the Spirit, you want to follow his lead. And yet we're going, no, I'm going to lead too. And so we're out on the Texas dance floor with the Holy Spirit and we're both leading. And non-Christians are watching us and they're thinking, what are they doing? They're just stepping on each other's toes. They look silly. They look ridiculous because we're not letting the Spirit lead us. I had a friend advise me not to even tell you all this because it's so silly. But anyway, Galatians 5:22 through 25, I was writing this while she was cutting my hair. She thinks that I'm nuts anyway because I always bring all these scriptures and Bible verses and do that when I'm getting my hair cut. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, we're so familiar with the scriptures, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes? Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature. So we do have a nature that's sinful with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, there's that verse again in Galatians 5:25. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I told her, you know what? We could call Galatians 5:22 through 25 about the fruit of the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit, the fruit scootin' boogie. Okay, that was so bad. And I just appreciate your sympathy laughter. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much that you put up with us. We thank you so much that you see us forever and ever and ever as your little children, so full of personality that you've given us and so full of potentiality. I just remember the little song that someone taught me as a song. It says, I am a promise, I'm a possibility, I'm a promise with a capital P. I'm a great big bundle of potentiality, and I'm learning to hear God's voice. I'm trying to make the right choice. I'm a promise to be anything He wants me to be. And God, I just thank you that even if I'm 40, if I'm 70, no matter what age I am, it is never, ever, ever too late for you to take my soul, and as I feed my spirit, to make me more and more and more like you, to conform me to your image. Father, I thank you for each one of your children out here that's so different, with different personalities and passions and different dislikes, and then at the same time, different struggles, different areas of sin, different areas of stumbling. And yet each one of us, you tell us if we will feed our spirits with the Word of God, our spirits will take over and we can walk in step with your Spirit. We can literally be conformed to your image and yet remain separate and distinct personalities used by you for you. Jesus, we are so thankful that on this Palm Sunday you were willing to go through that facade of all the laughter and cheer, and that you wept for us and you sacrificed yourself for us, and that you were crucified so that we might live. And I just thank you this morning that you would help each one of us to crucify our own flesh in the sense of denying it, starving it, not allowing our soul, our mind, will, and emotions to take over if it's in any way contrary to the Word of God. God, we cannot do that without you. We ask you, we beseech you for your power to do that so that we can be more like you. And so that one day when we get to heaven, someone can say to us, you know, I'm here because of you. I watched you, or I received your kindness, or God, each one of us want that. And Lord, we just so desire your perfect.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.